Welcome to the Brian Kane Peak Performance Podcast. On each and every episode, Brian talks with coaches, athletes, and performers in all arenas who are putting into practice the principles of peak performance that will help you close the gap from where you are to where you want to be, to help you become a master of the mental game, and to help you start dominating the day.
Hey, this is Brian Kane, your Peak Performance Coach with the Peak Performance Podcast. And today, our guest is Craig Snyder, assistant softball coach at Florida State University. Coach Snyder, I appreciate you taking time to sit down and talk with us today on the Peak Performance Podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Brian. I'm excited.
Craig, would you give our listeners your background into how you got to where you are today as an assistant softball coach at Florida State?
Yeah, I've had a few stops along the way. I started when I was 18 years old, actually. I had a small school in Kentucky, Lindsey Wilson College. I got my first start as a hitting coach there for 2 years while I was an undergrad. And then while I was doing that, somebody saw me at a camp and asked me if I wanted to come down and work with their hitters, you know, as a student assistant. And that's when Centenary College came into the play. And so here I am, 20 years old, going to work with some hitters, you know, at a Division I college. And I spent 2 years there, finished my undergrad. We won our conference 2 years in a row, and then I had the opportunity to go be a graduate assistant at the University of Oklahoma for, you know, two-time national champion Patty Gasaw, which was just an incredible experience for me and, you know, a chance for me to grow as a coach. And that, I think that really helped propel my career because once I finished my master's, I then moved on to Stephen F. Austin in Texas. I spent 4 years there. We had a lot of great players. Had a player of the year in the conference. Won the conference for 2 years while I was there. And at my stint at Stephen F. Austin, I'd get out and work camps. And Florida State was always a camp I'd go work. I'd met Coach Alameda at a camp in Chicago, and we hit it off. And she had an opening. And after my fourth year, she called me and asked if I'd be interested in coming to Florida State. And you know, that was a no-brainer for me. So you know, here we are 4 years later, and you know, we're rocking and rolling.
What advice would you give the young coaches? It sounds like you were on that kind of camp clinic circuit trying to meet people, learn new things, and it led you to where you are today at one of the greatest institutions in the country and greatest programs in the country. What advice would you have to young, aspiring coaches, and not just in softball, but I think it applies to any sport, about the importance of getting out and doing camps and meeting people?
Well, I think that's it's huge. You know, to get out and meet and, you know, to network with other coaches is what our profession is about. But in doing so, you need to have quality information, and you got to remember you're not bigger than the game. You know, the opportunity to learn from so many coaches is what makes you better, you know. And so I tried to surround myself and try to go to camps that could make me better, you know. Like, yes, I was there to help them, but I wanted to learn. I wanted to get better. I wanted to take that information and take it back to my current team so I can make them better, you know. Now, in a roundabout fact, I met people and they liked what I taught, so it worked out great for me. But I never approached the camp going, I hope I meet the right people so I can move up. I went to a camp because I was like, you know what, I want to learn from that person right there. I want to learn what she teaches in pitching. I want to learn what he teaches in hitting. And so, you know, again, just always a book, always wanting to learn, being a sponge. And again, you know, I would never be bigger than the game. Because the game, I always believe that the game rewards those that, you know, work hard and give back.
You know, the statement about the game knows, something that I heard, you know, Coach Horton talk about back in 2002 and 3 when I was a GA at Cal State Fullerton. And I think that you're absolutely right. The game is bigger than everybody. And I think if you just make the big time where you are, you do a great job of where you're at, you're going to continue to grow in the profession. You got to surround yourself with other great coaches and have to network. You've had a chance to work with Patty, who won 2 national championships at Oklahoma, worked with Lonnie, who's won everywhere that she's been and took Florida State to the College World Series in 2014. What do you notice about those successful coaches? And even when you were at Oklahoma as a GA, seeing, you know, Bob Stoops and coaches in other sports, and here at Florida State, seeing Jimbo Fisher in football, Mark Kerkorian down the hall from you just won a national championship in soccer. What do you notice about the greatest coaches in their profession and things that they do that all coaches should do?
They're driven, and they're driven in different ways. Coach Gasaw is, you know, runs her program differently than Coach Alameda. You know, Bob Stoops will run his different than a Jimbo Fisher. They all run it different, but they all believe in what they do, and they're 100% bought into that, and they preach that to their kids over and over again. And I think that's what I really noticed a lot is they didn't try to be somebody who they weren't. You know, they didn't try to be like, well, that's what Coach Gasaw, so I better do it. They said, you know what, this is me, and this is how I do things, and I want my kids to buy into this. And so I think they were really good at just knowing who they were and very comfortable who they were. And so, you know, that not a lot of, you know, they had a little bit of egos, but the egos were, again, it was a positive thing that they could feed to the kids. So, you know, I think it's huge just to, as a coach, to be comfortable in your own skin. Because if you're not, then you're not going to portray a positive message to your athletes.
And you got to be comfortable in your own skin, because especially when you coach at that high level like Oklahoma and Florida State, when you go on the road and you go into hostile environments, people are going to tell you that you're terrible. They're going to tell you that your wife's ugly, that your kids are ugly, right? All those things are going to get thrown at you. How do you manage handling all that adversity that comes with being in the spotlight and coaching at those major universities?
Well, that's where the mental game comes in. And it's you know, at this level, we get to coach some of the best athletes, okay? But the mental game is what separates an all-conference player from an all-American player. You know, and you know, we can go out and we can teach you fundamentals, and we can teach you how to field a ground ball, and we can teach you how to, you know, pitch the rise ball. We can do all that. But until you learn how to play pitch by pitch, until you learn how to manage your emotions, until you learn how to breathe, until you learn how to be in a hostile environment and be totally comfortable, that's what separates, you know, an average player from a great player, an all-conference player from an all-American player.
You know, four things you just mentioned in the mental game, and I don't know if our listeners caught them because it came out so fluid, so natural, was, you know, being able to play pitch by pitch, being able to manage your emotions, being able to breathe, being able to be comfortable being uncomfortable. What other parts of the mental game are important for you and for Florida State softball to have success?
You know, I think the couple I mentioned that I think are big for us, the pitch by pitch mentality is something we stress every day with our hitters. You know, they, so what? So what next pitch? Yeah, the umpire called it, you know, 6 inches off the plate. So what? Because we got to stay in the present. We've got to stay in the present, because any time that we decide, any time we start to lull on the past, like, it's going to drag us down, you know? That's why God put eyes in our front of our head, to keep looking towards the future, you know? We can't look in the past, and it's going to drag you down, especially in this game, because this is a game of failure, and until you learn how to fail and get yourself back up, you know, you're going to struggle. But I think, again, that's another great thing about some of the athletes we coach. Like, they understand it's a game of failure, and they know how. Hey, I failed. So what? You know what? So what next pitch? So what next game? We got the next list. We got to continue to move on. And a great example of that was us, you know, in the Michigan series, in the Super Regionals, you know, last year. It's like we came out and took the worst loss ever in Florida State history to Michigan. It was 17-3, I think it was. But you know what? There's two more games. But right now there's one more game. We got to go in this one. Okay, win that one. We got to go in the next one. And boom, in the World Series.
It's fascinating for the listeners who maybe are not softball fans or aware of softball. Last year, Florida State, number 8 national seed, is that right?
That's correct.
Number 8 national seed, you win a regional, you host a super regional against Michigan, who had just upset one of the best teams in the country, and Arizona State had been to 7 of the last 8 Women's College World Series. Their senior class had won, I think, 2 national championships. Mm-hmm. So Michigan comes in here in game 1, and they go out and beat the national pitcher of the year in Lacey Waldrop 17-3. Worst loss in Florida State history. Tell me, you get that game gets over. What do you guys do as a coaching staff and as a program to help get your athletes back to the right mindset to come back for the next day? What did you guys do?
See, the beautiful thing, Brian, is we didn't have to do anything because the groundwork was laid. From everything we've done, you know, in the mental game, they knew how to respond. There was no going to the locker room and pep talk or anything else. When the coaching staff, after the game, the kids will go in the locker room, the coach staff will debrief for a second, and then we walk in the locker room. We walked into that locker room, and I've never seen a group of kids so focused and so ready to play the next game. And we just got done getting absolutely destroyed by a team, and they were ready for the next one. You know, they were ready to play because they knew that they didn't have their game that day. You know, there's going to be days that you don't have your game, but how do you respond, you know? And I think for a team that's not as mentally tough and people that don't practice the mental game, they crumble in that situation because you look at the newspaper clippings, you know, like, oh my gosh, how are we going to come back from this? And it was like, hey, it's a game. It's over. We got to play another game. And so it was kind of neat as a staff, and I think it kind of affirmed what we do with the mental game in the fall, in the spring, and talk about it throughout the whole year. We walked in, and it was, all right, let's talk. Let's go tomorrow. And the kids were ready to go. Next day they showed up, and, yeah, you know, we all know the rest of the story.
So 2014, they see Florida State come back, win two games on the day two, ends in a walk-off home run to punch your ticket to Oklahoma City. Go back to 2013, because what's also fascinating about 2013 is the miracle in Mobile. Talk about that. Set up the stage for that and tell us what that was like.
So we went in the last day in South Alabama, and we had to win one game, and we're off for the Super Regionals, which has been a while since Florida State had been there. We go and we lose the first game in South Alabama. They have to double dip us. They beat us the first game. That year we've been plagued with injuries. We had, I think at that point, lost five starters. And then we lose Matty O'Brien, who was our shortstop, who we lost her that game. And so we go into that game and we're beat up. We're just beat up. We've given it all, but we've got one more game to play. And we kind of changed the lineup around a little bit offensively. We put our four-hole hitter in the one hole and did some things differently and just said, hey, let's go get him. And they went out and they scored probably five on us to start the game. You know, and it's like, you know, the kids are kind of down, but, you know, we still have outs. If you have outs, you got a shot. If you have outs, you just keep pounding that in, keep pounding that in, keep pounding that in. It ended up being, I think it was 6-1, and we got to the bottom of the seventh. We had our 4, 5, 6, 7 hitter coming up. First hitter comes up, gets on base. Second hitter comes up, you know, she forces an out at second. We got a runner at first. Next hitter flies out to left. So I think we're to our 7-hole hitter at this point with two outs.
Seventh inning,
down by five,
one run first base.
Correct.
South Alabama thinks they're going on.
South Alabama at that time, they had the USA cheer going on. And USA. And it was about 3,000 people, and it was loud. I mean, it was just pulsating, you know. You could feel the energy. The great thing about our team, though, that year is that we've been in those situations 4 or 5 times. We've been in those crowds. We've been in those moments where you had to manage your emotions. We'd been there. And so now we get to that South Alabama game, and that was just another game for us. Now, obviously, we're down by five with two outs now. The 7-0 hitter gets the two strikes, and now we're two outs, two strikes, and she gets on base. Okay? And then the next hitter comes up. She walks. So now we got base loaded. Then our 9-0 hitter comes up. She grounds out to what should be probably the last out of the game. Well, they throw it away at first base, so we score a run. And so now we've got bases loaded with two outs, and now our number one hitter is going up, who used to be our four-hole hitter, so Kelly Hensley, who had really done a great job that year of playing pitch by pitch. She was a great student of the game with her bats, and where she learned from each at bat what she should do for the next one. You know, she didn't dwell on the failures. She just took the information, processed it, and moved forward. She got into a 1-1 count, and she was sitting in. She knew that this kid was coming in, and she hits a grand slam to tie the game up. Down by five, two outs, two strikes twice. We hit a grand slam to tie it up. Going to the bottom of the seventh, we hold them, and then we lead off the next inning, the bottom of the eighth, with a home run to right center. Victoria East hits a home run, so now we're up 8-7, and then we come back in the bottom of the eighth, and we hold them all three outs, and the rest is history. You know, and it's those moments in coaching where you go, I don't think I'll ever be a part of something that miraculous, that incredible, that intense, until 2014. And you get a walk-off home run to go to the College World Series. You go, okay, that kind of tops it, you know. But that set the stage for that year. You know, it's like we've been in those big postseason games. We've been down. So what next pitch? We can go right there. We can be just as good as anybody else, you know. And I think, again, setting the groundwork we laid both those years is what helped us succeed in the postseason both years.
So for the coaches out there listening to this, or the athletes out there listening to this, that if they think this way, they probably haven't made it this far into the podcast. Yeah. But if there's any out there that are doubters, that are going, man, mental game, I don't know if that's for me, and that's obviously the first stage people go through, what advice would you have for the coaches out there that are maybe thinking about the mental game or want to test it? What advice would you have now that you've been through it and have done it at a high level?
It's incredible. You know, it's, again, you're going to take average players and turn them into great players, you know? And you might take your below average players and make them above average. It just takes you to a whole different level. And the crazy thing is for coaches is that the mental game can not only be applied to your team, but your everyday life. It'll improve your life on a daily basis. If you're in that moment, if you're in that, just thinking of next pitch mentality, you know what? What's important now? You know, I think that's a big one for me in my life. I'd say, you know what? I've got a wife and two kids, and what's important to me right now? You know, when I get home, you know, it's the kids right now. Okay, I'm back at work. This is what's important. And so I have to stay in that moment of what's important now. And so, but, you know, as far as the team goes, you know, I can't tell you, it's worked for us. You know, to me, it's been the catalyst, and it's set the standard for the program. You know, we've set the standards of what our program is about. You know, and until you can set that foundation, you're always going to kind of be wishy-washy, I think, as a coach and as a program. Like, what do you stand for? You know, and I think you have to have that foundation of the mental game. So,
awesome. Coach Snyder, appreciate you making time, man. In the middle of a camp right now, you're running and gunning 100 miles an hour. I'll tell you what, of all the coaches I've ever worked with, you are one of the most impressive in terms of just managing the moment, managing your emotions, staying calm under fire. What's the one piece of advice, if you could remove the skull cap of all the coaches out there and plant the seed about coaching and leadership, from your experience, what would that one seed be?
Stay humble. Stay humble and love what you do. You know, you got to love what you do. And, you know, I think, again, just remember that you're not bigger than the game. That's just one thing I always go back to is give back, because you're not bigger than the game. The game has given me so many opportunities that I want to give back every opportunity I have, and I'm very humble about it, you know, and just continue to learn.
Awesome. Coach, for the fans out there of you, Craig Snyder, who's going to be a future big-time head coach in college softball, how can people follow you on Twitter and stay in contact?
Yeah, on Twitter, I'm at @FSU_CoachSnyder. And then that's really about it. It's my main social media.
Main outlet to the
that's
world.
That's right.
Awesome. Coach, I appreciate you sitting down and making time with us today, man. Thanks for making a difference in the lives of all of our listeners.
Thank you, Brian.
Appreciate you, man.
Thanks for listening to the Brian Kane Peak Performance Podcast. Please make sure that you visit briankane.com. That's briankain.com. And sign up for my Monday message, where every Monday I deliver straight to your inbox videos, interviews, articles, tips, techniques, and strategies that you can use to master the mental game. You can also contact me through my website on our Contact Us page and see my calendar of where I'm going to be in the country and when I'm coming to your area, so that we can get together and that we can continue to go out there and dominate the day.
The Brian Kane Peak Performance Podcast is part of the Top Coach Network. This is a production of Corn Belt Sports.